Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about water scrying. It's also known as hydromancy. As you're aware, there are many ways to connect to spirit, and there are so many tools available today to do so. Many of us gravitate towards tarot, oracle, pendulums, Ouija boards, crystals, many different types of tools. However, in addition, there are so many other ways to connect to the spirit world, and one way is through scrying. Scrying is the ancient art of revelation. It is the practice of looking into some sort of medium to get answers to your questions or to get some sort of revelation about a situation. Traditionally, scrying has been portrayed through, as you're aware, this image of someone gazing over a crystal ball that's called scrying. However, there are many other mediums other than crystals. The word scrying comes from the Old English word descry, which means to make out dimly or to reveal. According to Donald Tyson, scrying is the deliberate act of perceiving events that lie beyond the range of the physical senses by using the agents of the unconscious mind. The scryer is separated from the things scryed by distance, by time, or by levels of consciousness. Usually, images are scryed, but it is possible to scry sounds, scents, sensations, and even flavors. Most forms of scrying involve the use of sight. It's important to understand that the images seen during scrying are not transmitted through the eyes. In scrying, we see only with the mind. But the mind needs some way to convey the information to our conscious awareness. It must take the information that we gain during a scrying session and translate it into something that we can understand. It does this by turning the information into a sensory impression, usually a still image or a moving vision, but sometimes it can turn the information into a sound, a voice, or even a feeling, essentially whatever is the most useful for our own understanding. So there are many different scrying methods. However, regardless, it usually involves the scryer concentrating their awareness upon some sort of object in order to bring about a receptive mental state that's capable of receiving information gathered by the deepest part of our minds. Ordinary consciousness blocks the reception of the scryed information. That's why it's so rare to get extrasensory perception when we're engaged in our ordinary day-to-day life. When we scry, regardless of the method that we use, we induce a receptive state of consciousness. We also instruct the deeper parts of our mind that we are willing and we are prepared to receive information that has not been obtained through the avenues of our five senses. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that when you want to scry, when you're preparing to scry, you have to be very specific when it comes to your questions. If you aren't and you're scrying, then you're probably going to just receive any type of message and you're going to have a difficult time determining what it means, which is okay. If you go get readings, whether it's tarot, oracle, even a psychic reading, sometimes you'll say, I request a general reading, right? And you see what comes up. However, if you have a question, and it is recommended that you come, you know, prepared with questions for scrying so that the symbols or the messages that you get make more sense. Otherwise, you could get a bunch of images that are really difficult to decipher that can mean so many different things. Now, I'm really, sure you're wondering at this point, what are the various ways that we can actually scry? So you can scry using crystals, water, mirrors. You can use fire, smoke, and even through oil, and many others. However, we're not going to be touching on all of those today. We are only going to be looking at hydromancy. So hydromancy, it's what is known as water scrying. This is one of the most ancient scrying methods, and it was made famous by Nostradamus. Nostradamus obtained many of his prophecies through water scrying. We do get a little insight into how he scried, or at least what was necessary to scry, by looking at a letter he sent to King Henry II of France during the 16th century. And he says, and I quote, "I will confess, sire, that I believe myself capable of presage from the natural instinct I inherit of my ancestors, adjusted and regulated by elaborate calculation and the endeavor to free the soul, mind, and heart from all care, solicitude, and anxiety by resting and tranquilizing the spirit, which finally has all to be completed and perfected." He also says in a separate section, "Much as if looking into a burning mirror, we see, as with darkened vision, the great events." What's interesting here, at least from what I've gathered by this letter, is that he is essentially telling the king that he, number one, has to free the soul, mind, and heart from all care, from all worries, from all anxiety, right? He has to essentially put himself in some sort of trance state, free from all the burdens and concerns, to be able to even scry, to be able to even see. So tranquilizing the spirit. So he's giving us some insight into what it takes to be able to get yourself into that mental state or state of consciousness that is able to receive messages from the divine. Now, Nostradamus returns several times to the theme of fire when he talks about his scrying, which he said, again, "much as if looking into a burning mirror, we see." Again, he is doing water scrying, okay? So don't get confused and think that he's referring to fire scrying, which is a totally separate way of doing so, and that is just as effective, but he was known for looking into water. In letters to his son, he explains that while he scried with water, he saw a spiritual flame that illuminated his vision during scrying. This is the flame of the spirit, or potentially a holy guardian angel. But whatever it was, this flame of the spirit, he referred to it as the genius. So yes, based on historical sources, we know that Nostradamus used water for his scrying. Now, I want to read to you a couple of his quatrains that provide us a little insight into his practice. And I quote, "Gathered at night in the study deep I sat, alone, upon the tripod stool of brass, exiguous flame came out of solitude, promise of magic that may believed. The rod in hand set in the midst of branches, he moistens with water both the fringe and foot. Fear and a voice makes me quake in my sleeves, splendor divine, the god is seated near." From this, we know that Nostradamus scried at night, and he scried alone. He sat upon a three-legged stool and supported his scrying basin upon a tripod. Based on his quatrain, it appears as if he used a rod as well. In some forms of hydromancy, the practitioner has a bowl of water in front of them and then touches the flat surface of the water with a wand to create a ripple effect. Traditionally, the wand is made from the branch of a bay, a laurel, or a hazel tree, and has resin or sap dried upon the ends. In some practices, the dried sap is run around the edge of the bowl, creating a resonating sound, which is incorporated into the scrying appearance. So now let's talk about how to scry with water and when the best time is to perform this divination. So scrying is closely connected with the magic of the moon. The moon was regarded as some kind of gateway between our ordinary physical world and the mysterious realm of spirits in ancient history. So according to Donald Tyson, the moon rules dreams, visions, fantasies, and memories, all functions of the astral plane, which exists one level removed from the physical plane. the astral plane is another dimension of reality. The visions we perceive during scrying form upon the astral plane. During scrying, we remain consciously aware of what we see astrally, and we're able to record our impressions, which is super important, you guys. So consider the moon phase when you decide to start scrying, and I would suggest that you consider doing this either on a new moon or a full moon. So what do you need if you want to try this practice? Number one, you need some sort of bowl, of course. Water. I would suggest that you get 2 pillar candles. Also, you know, some sort of energy cleansing item, whether it's incense, sage, or what have you. And some people like to have crystals, so that's also up to you. So now let's talk about exactly how to go about doing or performing hydromancy. So now that you have your bowl, and you can use a dark bowl, a wooden bowl, marble, glass bowl. Dark bowls are recommended because they allow you to concentrate a little bit better. So now that you have your bowl, you need to fill it with water. Is there a source of water that you need? Some people can use tap water. Others say that you have to go to a river, stream, lake to collect your water. It's preferable to use rainwater, but you can use mineral water. Tap water should be fine as well. So you want to fill your bowl with water. And then you need to prepare your space. You can perform water scrying indoors or even outdoors. Just make sure that you have a clear space to put your bowl and a clear space to put your candles. Some people want to bring crystals, which I think is fine. So if you're going to use a crystal, I would recommend that you use clear quartz because, as you know, it amplifies energy. And to have that with water, I think, would be super helpful. Okay, next you need to energetically clean your area. You know that there are so many ways of cleaning the energy in your space. You can use incense, you can visualize white light, use salt, of course, sage, any essential oils, whatever is your go-to, that's what you need. Next, you're going to want to light your candles. Once you light your candles, place a candle on each side of your bowl. And take note that the light of the candles have to actually be able to reflect off the surface of the water. So once everything is prepped and ready to go, the next part is the most important part, which is trying to put yourself in that mental receptive state, right? So you want to enter what would be called today like a trance-like state, which is an altered state of consciousness. As you are most likely aware, every culture around the world has its own like trance-like rituals to put themselves in that altered state. Some people use the drum beating, other people chant. There's all different types of way. In your case, obviously meditating is probably going to be the quickest way to enter into this trance-like state. You can do breath work. You can imagine yourself grounding, which I think you should do anyway. Putting up your bubble of protection. Perhaps sending white light all the way down through your crown, through all of your chakras. And just focus on your breathing to get yourself into that altered state of consciousness. Once you feel calm, once you feel super relaxed, once you feel like you're kind of entering that trance-like state of consciousness, now it's time to look into the bowl of water. And remember, your lights need to be off in the room. I know that's creepy, but this is the way to do it. So begin to turn your eyes to the water in the bowl and start to gaze. When you, again, feel peaceful, when you feel super focused, connected, when you feel super relaxed, that's prime time for water gazing. Make sure that your eyes are super relaxed. Make sure also that the chair that you're sitting in, if you're sitting in a chair, is very comfortable, because scrying can take a long time. So you need to be patient. And also, please note, more importantly, is that it can take a very long time, and I mean months, until you start to see anything. Practice makes perfect. And of course, while you're staring into the water, your mind is going to start to wonder and think about all these things. Number one, it's probably going to think, this isn't going to work. Why is this taking so long? This is boring. What am I expecting to see? All of these questions are going to come up. But whatever you do, stay focused as long as possible. Sometimes a word might pop out. You may see an image. You may see an entire scene play out before you in water. This is quite normal. If you don't see anything during the first session, that's also quite normal. If you don't see anything during the next 5 to 10 sessions, that's okay. Maybe you have a timer to do 5 minutes the first time and then increase a minute each time. Eventually something will come. What makes this, I think, a little bit difficult sometimes is the symbolism. The universe speaks in symbols, and it's language, it's tailored for your understanding. So let's say, for example, that you see a hammer as an image, and then I see a hammer as an image. Well, the message is going to be different for me. The meaning will be different. It's important that you record all of your impressions and then go back into the water and try to get more clarity. Again, this practice takes a lot of time. So don't get frustrated and don't give up if this is something that you really want to become skilled at. Developing your third eye takes a very long time for some people, but practice makes perfect. Another thing that I wanted to mention here, hydromancy. It's not necessarily limited to a bowl of water, okay? You can actually do it in a body of water, like a lake, ocean, river, what have you. I've met a couple of other practitioners who are fantastic with water, where they would literally go to a body of water and stare into the water, and they would see images play out, and that's how they would get their messages. Or even in the bathtub, right? That's one way. I don't have that skill, okay? I can't do it. I have tried a million times, and it's just not for me. And that's the other thing I wanted to say. It may be interesting to you, but it may not be your skill. So, you know, be realistic. However, if you feel drawn to the element of water, then there is a high chance that this is something you can actually do. But again, give yourself time and practice. Don't forget to look at the moon phases. I would suggest, again, doing this on the new moon, full moon. I mean, really, you can practice as many times as you want. It's just the energy will be different, and it may be more suitable for practicing. You guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it was quite short. However, what I would like to do over the coming weeks is teach you how to scry, not just via water, but also via crystals, via oils, via mirrors, and even do what is called aura scrying. So you can add these to your own divination toolkits. I hope this has been super helpful. Please always feel free to reach out if you have any questions. And if you already know how to water scry and this is your skill, I would love to hear your own stories of how you do it, how it works, what your experiences have been. And if you decide to try this out over the coming months consistently and you have experiences, I would love to hear your stories as well. Thank you guys for tuning in for today, and I hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.